Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
With hour number two of Free Talk Live, kicking off on our Sunday episode of the show here with continuing an interview of us by a college student, Laura. She is here actually doing a summer project that she has at St. Anselm College. So Ian and Aria in our remote studio at the top of the hill at Rogers Campground. Such a beautiful location. It's great to be here. Nice excuse that you have to come out and join us in this amazing place. And so you're asking a series of questions about liberty and personal responsibility and decentralization sort of overall. And you've interviewed more than a dozen other people here at the park. You're interviewing us now, so we're going to pick up where we left off at question number 8, which was about guns. Can you just re-ask the question for listeners just tuning in?
Sure. So the last question was about like whether or not we should have the right to move to a state with fewer gun restrictions, if we see that as preferable, which pretty much everybody has said that, yeah, we should have that right. So the meat of this question is in the second half, where I ask, do you think that that's the most ideal solution, or should the federal government make gun ownership equally restricted or unrestricted, wherever we find that equilibrium, in all 50 states?
Well, according to the Constitution, which is a useless scrap of paper that I don't care about, there's no mention of what guns people can own, what level of arms people can own, versus what level of arms the government owns. I mean, back when this thing was written, the weapon a person used to hunt and sustain themselves throughout the winter was going to be the same weapon they used to go to war. The only difference now is that war weapons are economically beyond the reach of the average person. They're infinitely more devastating. So the government was like, oh, no, you can't have these good weapons. You can have these pistols and these shotguns and these other things, but these ones that could actually be useful in defending yourself against us, no, you can't have those. So I would say, constitutionally, the federal government should support totally unrestricted weapons.
Well, but this is the same question as the last question, Aria, which, you know, if we believe in decentralization, of course, the federal government shouldn't exist. No state at all should exist, because that's ultimately...
Well, I prefaced it with saying the Constitution is useless, but under the current system...
Well, okay, but, you know, even with the Constitution saying what it says, shouldn't states be able to make decisions outside of that? Because shouldn't ultimately the state be able to leave the federal government, right?
Sure, but I didn't create this stupid system.
Sure. So my answer to that question would be that I think that no, the federal government shouldn't impose its views, because I don't think they should exist at all, because ultimately I do believe in secession. So if California wants to have a bunch of crazy gun laws, we just talked to Carlos... Morales, thank you. Carlos Morales yesterday about this.
So.
and he was talking about how he has to, in California where he lives, he can have a shotgun in his house, but he has to have the ammunition for the shotgun in a separate closed locked case as the shotgun itself. You have to then open both cases if you can in a seriously like hair-raising, crazy, dangerous situation, because, you know, things get pretty crazy and you're trying to remember your code then, right? Like, okay, good luck. So you got to open the gun cases, put the, you know, the ammo in the gun, rack the gun, and then you can defend yourself. So if California wants to do stuff like that and the federal government comes in and says, well, you must do X, Y, Z, well, I think California should be able to say, well, we're going our own way. Now we're the nation of California. And so I think that secession is a good solution for decentralization. It's a long answer, but
no, that's fantastic. And other people have said similar things. So the next question is about capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
In your view, is a free market system most ideal, meaning most conducive to your individual freedoms? You can expand on that if you like, but if so, how can capitalism account for those who are unable to participate in it, but still might need goods and services, such as infants or severely disabled people, etc.?
Now, when you say capitalism, you mean free market exchanges, right? I mean, because there's a lot of dispute about that, and I would agree with you, but Everyone can participate in the marketplace, even people who are very, very, very poor, destitute, have nothing, because the poor is a resource. And you say, okay, but the rich are going to exploit this resource. But it's by employing them. It's by eliminating the unemployed. It's by liquidating the poor. It's by lifting them up out of poverty. So everyone can participate in the system.
I don't like the term capitalism at all. I don't like the term socialism at all. I don't like the impressions that people have about those ideas, the differences that people have in their minds about what those things mean. To me, a free market doesn't impose an economic system. The free market is just the negative rights that we were talking about before, where if you have a thing, you can sell that thing. If you make a thing, then you can, you know, share it or sell it. And so sharing comes to mind when, you know, we're talking about helping people. In a free market, you can have mutual aid organizations. You can have charitable work that encourages people to get involved on a volunteer or, you know, cash basis and help support a thing that they think is worth doing. You know, because despite all the jobs that could be created in a free marketplace, there's still probably going to be some really sick people that they ain't feeling like working.
But, I mean, we've seen this in the macroscopic sense between China and the United States. China used to be abysmally poor.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, the United States is exploiting them by paying them to make stuff. And now
more than what they would make eking out an existence on some crappy farm.
Yeah, and now China is, you know, set to surpass the United States in economic strength.
Yeah, so things change. When there's relative freedom, and in places like the U.S. and China, there really isn't even relative freedom. There's insane levels of restrictions, so it could be so much better that we can't even imagine how much better it would be if people were just free to make choices for themselves. And one of those choices includes the choice to help others.
Awesome. Sounds great. My last couple questions, do you think that governments ought to compete with one another for residents? And if so, do you think that competition benefits the residents themselves?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, if they're competing for residents, it's because they're trying to offer me something that I want, which in my case would be more freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So the state that offers the most freedom would get my residency, and that would certainly benefit me. And then you would have states, as you mentioned, like California, that would offer people free health care and free education and all of this other stuff to try to get them to become residents. And probably in the long run, I would say that wouldn't really benefit them, but...
You know, what'll end up happening to them is they'll drive the most productive people out of the state, and then it'll be really tough to continue those programs without just completely ravaging whatever economic strength they have left. But yeah, more competition is a good thing, even between states. Just to reiterate, I don't think the idea of the state should exist anymore. I think that hopefully we can just throw it in the dustbin of history, like the idea of chattel slavery, where people will look back and be like, can you believe they had states back in the day? Wow, how just horrendous. But until we get to that point, which may not be in our lifetime, it would be nice to have more robust competition and the freedom to be able to move is what I was touching on earlier. That's one benefit of the United States is the relative freedom to travel between the member states. But there's really no other benefit to the United States. We should end it as soon as possible. Yeah.
All right. So we've talked a lot about some of the benefits of decentralization. And my next question asks if those benefits could be achieved by a centralized government acting in place of states, for example, if like we were to remove the state governments and just offer, like have the central government sort of oversee that competition that we find beneficial.
In theory, it would certainly be possible. It's certainly possible to have only angels running for office and only angels winning the office. I mean, in theory, sure. But in reality, it works out so that people who want power, you know, go to power.
Yeah, and the more power there is to take, the worse the characters are that are going to show up to take it, right?
Yeah.
Like, they want to be warlords. They want to hurt people. They want to shovel money into their, you know, business buddies' pockets. And that's what we see at the federal government. There's no reason to believe that centralizing even more power there is going to make that any better. It's going to make it way worse.
Right. So, yeah, the second part of that I've been asking is, are the benefits of decentralization inherent to decentralization? And that sort of touches on what you said, where it, there are other factors at play, like, for example, the goodwill of the person in office or whether they have their own agenda, for sure.
Well, with decentralization, there would be more people in play, so the odds are better that at least one of them would not be a total scumbag. I don't know whether or not the odds would ever approach good.
We do have less scummy people in New Hampshire because they only get paid $100 a year, but there's still some power seekers there for sure. More coming up here with Laura from St. Anselm College. We're talking about decentralization here and freedom on Free Talk Live from ForkFest 2020. Anarcho-Vegas 2020 is a conference about changing the world through personal actualization and creation through markets. Get inspired to better yourself and better the world. Speakers include Jim Bell, Larkin Rose, Ovins O'Brien, G. Edward Griffin, Walter Block, Amanda Rockwitz, Ernie Hancock, and more. Get your tickets for just $20.20 at anarchovegas.com and use code FTL to save 10% off VIP tickets. July 19th, join Free Talk Live for anarchovegas.com. Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform at local.bitcoin.com, allowing you to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash via dozens of payment methods like PayPal, Venmo, bank deposit, remittances, or meeting in person with cash. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and use the site, and all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted. Finally, a global trading platform that respects your privacy. Visit local.bitcoin.com to get started trading Bitcoin Cash. local.bitcoin.com.
I have two dogs, Sam and Bailey. Both are golden retrievers. Poor Sam, he was a mess. Always itching, his paws were soaking wet all day from just constant licking. He had bald spots on his back. I just don't like putting shots and steroids into your dog all the time.
DinoVite.com.
DinoVite is nutrition. Probably 2 weeks after he started DinoVite, I started seeing great improvements. And today, 99% of his issues are non-existent. It's amazing. Since Bailey has been 12 weeks old, he's been a DinoVite dog, and he has zero issues today. He won't eat his food without DinoVite. When I get out the DinoVite, my dogs actually salivate, like I'm getting them a treat. They drool over it. DinoVite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my DinoVite from DinoVite.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Mm-hmm. Talk Live at ForkFest 2020. You can still join us here. We've got a whole another week to go. Go to ForkFest.party to learn more about the event. And also, the next generation wallet is coming from Divvy. In just a few taps, you'll be able to spend, earn, store, and exchange digital money in seconds. Divvy says you'll be able to send money around the globe in only a swipe and instantly exchange between Divvy, Bitcoin, and fiat currencies like the dollar in the mobile app and withdraw directly to your bank account. There's no need to wait, though, as Divvy already offers the first one-tap solution for earning passive income with their multi-tiered masternodes, allowing anyone to earn by supporting the Divvy network. When the new Divvy wallet launches, because of their relationship with Western Union, Divvy will be in 200 countries, including the United States. Learn more at DiviProject.org, DIVIProject.org. We continue here, Ian and Aria, in our remote studio at Rogers Campground during ForkFest and the very end of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. We're with Laura. She's been asking us a bunch of questions that she's doing a, what do you call this exactly, a study or a...
Yeah, it's a research project. Yeah, it's with a grant through the New Hampshire Institute of Politics.
Does it get published somewhere, or does it like just get turned into somebody?
So yeah, it's just gonna get turned into someone. I mean, I suppose I could try and have it published, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
So are you getting graded on it, or is it just for your enrichment, basically?
Just for my own enrichment. Okay. Hopefully, I'll be able to present on it when we go back to school in the fall.
Okay, so that's kind of like publishing if you're presenting on it to an audience or something like that.
Yeah.
So you've read a series of questions, we've answered a bunch, and you were on like maybe one or however many more.
One more. Okay. Yeah. So my wrap-up question with everyone has been asking them to describe their ideal government.
Ooh, okay. You want to go first?
A lack of one.
Right.
I mean,
that's been a popular answer.
It comes down to the definition of a state versus a government. I mean, a government that doesn't use force, violence, and coercion, that isn't a state. I mean, I'm fine with that. We have things like IEEE and stuff like that that are essentially governments over technology, and I'm fine with
those. These are voluntary associations, IEEE. You'll see it on, like,
they govern technology,
products.
But they don't use force, violence, and coercion to make people comply.
What about, like, Underwriters Laboratories, where, you know, if you ever looked at, like, the bottom of a toaster, there's that UL logo? That's a voluntary certification that companies go after. And interestingly, it's not just like, it's not just because they want to in some cases, although there's a good reason for that, because UL is a respected logo. I mean, almost everybody's seen it, right? They know what the logo is, even if they don't know what it is, right? But they, in some cases, like if you're a toaster maker and you want to get your toaster into Walmart, well, Walmart's buyers, or Target or whatever, their buyers are going to be like, this is UL certified, right? What's the number? Oh, it's not?
Sure.
Sorry, we can't deal with you. Because they don't want to have a toaster on their shelf that hasn't gone through the certification. They don't want, you know, wires being crossed and catching fire on the inside. So this is another example of a voluntary arrangement or a voluntary government, if you want to use that word, for people to get into that can help.
Well, it certainly governs the industry.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with IEEE, so I don't mind calling them governments.
What's it stand for? International?
I don't recall, man.
Yeah.
College was a long time ago.
Okay.
But, I mean, look at what they managed to achieve just with voluntary association. You can take any device, like a laptop, a cell phone, a tablet, and connect it to any brand of Wi-Fi router and access any ISP's internet connection. No state could ever achieve something of that scale.
No. This is the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers.
Okay.
Which I did not know. USB was also created by, I believe, some sort of a consortium, an industry governance group of standards people that got together to agree, okay, rather than everybody having all these different weirdo connectors, let's come up with something that's consistent. So if you got a Toshiba laptop versus a Samsung laptop, you can have the same connector on the side of it.
And it only benefits us. It only benefits me if I forget my charger at home, but it's okay because you have a totally different phone, but it's also you. USB-C charger. So yeah,
unless you're Apple, and that's a whole other story.
Apple sucks, though. So.
So, but yeah, these are examples of voluntary governments. So to answer the question, no government of coercion, no government of monopoly on violence, where people who don't want to consent are thrown in a prison cell or have the life choked out of them by some police officer or other gang of armed people.
fantastic. Those are all my questions.
All right. Fantastic. Awesome. Well, let's see. Can we come up with some questions for you? You know,
would you call yourself a libertarian?
I personally, I don't identify as a libertarian, mm-hmm. but it's been really interesting to learn about it because it's not something that I knew about before this project. So some of the arguments are appealing to me and some I've had more questions about.
So you didn't choose the topic of this particular grant?
I worked together with Dr. Sorens and another professor to come up with it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like, I didn't really know much about the Free State Project going into this. Mm-hmm. I had some other more general ideas. I'm a philosophy major, so I was looking at doing something that was more out there and theoretical. And Professor Latona, who is one of my philosophy professors, suggested that I work with Dr. Sorens because mm-hmm. he, you know, knew so much about libertarianism and obviously has started this project. So
having learned what you've learned, you know, what are your thoughts? Do you think that, what do we got it wrong about?
Are we just pot-smoking Republicans?
I don't think that. No. I think there are some really good things about, well, again, like, my research mostly focuses on decentralization and centralization. So one thing I've done is just trying to find examples of where decentralization has helped people and where centralization has helped people in terms of their freedom. And I do think that there is some benefits to competition, which have been really compelling. But then I also have worries about, like, a race to the bottom or what they call, like, beggar your neighbor, where the cost of, you know, say, pollution is shared by a larger community than just, you know, your own. So I'm really trying to dig into some of those objections to see where I stand.
Well, wouldn't a lot of pollution fall under the umbrella of property damage?
I suppose,
so
yeah.
They would be liable for that in a free market system. I mean, they're damaging mm-hmm. your property.
Yes, and whatever the courts would look like or arbitration systems, we don't know. And a lot of this is theoretical, you know, because we're all trying to, at least liberty-minded folks, are trying to envision a completely different world where humans have rejected the idea of coercion against their neighbor. And that's ultimately what's at the core of the reason why the state exists. You know, from sort of a metaphysical perspective, we're manifesting, almost collectively, humans are manifesting the state into existence, in my view, because humans don't believe in respecting each other, and they don't believe, at some level, like a lot of us do, but some large amount of people think it's okay to tell their neighbor what to do. They think it's okay if they get together in a group of, you know, 51% to say, this is the way it's going to be, or else. And as long as people can't let go of their desire to control somebody else, then we'll never be free as a people. And I think that's one of the most important aspects for people to come to understand, that whenever you want the government to do something, whether it's to do X, Y, or Z about pollution, by the way, the state's one of the worst polluters out there, and they allow on state-owned land private corporations to do things like strip mining and just absolutely devastate those land masses. So, having the state do something for you means being willing to use violence against your neighbor. And to me, if you've got a good idea, then you should be able to persuade your neighbors to help you on a voluntary basis. That's how I feel about that.
Makes sense to me.
Right. So we've had Laura with us here. Thank you so much for coming on and joining us here today on Free Talk Live.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yep. More coming up here in moments from Rogers Campground, the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire, ForkFest 2020. We continue.
Remember when you first heard about Bitcoin? How long did it take you to realize this little project would soon change the world? Do you kind of wish you had gotten involved sooner? Well, now is your chance to be part of the next revolution in money. Intercoin is working to finally make crypto go mainstream. It's designed to be scalable enough to support everyday payments and even elections without the state. Bitcoin was originally supposed to be a peer-to-peer cash system, the way we would all pay one another without having to trust any third party. But instead, over time, it mostly became a store of value. That's because every 10 minutes, the Bitcoin network must put all transactions into a block. And that block can only hold so much. If crypto is to become mainstream, for everyone to use it in everyday payments, we need a new architecture. One that's as secure as Bitcoin while being far more scalable. Check out intercoin.org to find out more and maybe pick up some of those coins for yourself.
We'll be right back. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump is denying that he'd been briefed on reported U.S. intelligence that a Russian military intelligence unit secretly offered bounties to Taliban-linked militants for killing American troops in Afghanistan. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on ABC's This Week.
This is as bad as it gets, and yet the president will not confront the Russians on this score. Denies being briefed, whether he is or not, his administration knows.
On CBS's Face the Nation, Vice President Mike Pence says he doesn't want to say Black Lives Matter because he doesn't agree with the political message behind it.
What I see in the leaders of the Black Lives Matter movement is a political agenda of the radical left that would defund the police.
He also said African American leaders have made clear they want law and order and peace in their streets. This is USA Radio News. A Trump cabinet member has a warning about COVID-19. USA's Chris Barnes reports from Washington.
Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar says the country is in a better situation than it was earlier on in the pandemic, thanks to hospital capacity and therapeutics. But he also is advocating for personal responsibility, saying,
"It's a very different situation, but this is a very, very serious situation, and the window is closing for us to take action and get this under control."
Right. Speaking on CNN's State of the Union, Azar also urged those who have recovered from the coronavirus to donate plasma. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Global coronavirus cases have now exceeded 10 million. It's a major milestone in the spread of the disease that's killed nearly 500,000 people in 7 months. Governor Andrew Cuomo says the death toll fell to 5 on Saturday, the lowest number that New York State has recorded in more than 3 months. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Talk Live. We're doing our Sunday episode of the show, even though it's still Friday, because we haven't run out of interesting people to talk to here at this event. And a gentleman was sitting here, actually, as we arrived this evening. The young ladies from the college were here waiting for us. We said, we'll be back here at 5 o'clock. Ended up, we were 5 minutes late. So thankfully, you were here, DJ. And you were answering their questions prior to our arrival.
Yes, I was.
Everything actually wrapped up just on time. We sat in, get everything set up, and you were just finishing up with them. So they joined us, and you sat and listened.
That's right.
And during one of the breaks, you said, hey, you know, I'm actually an author. I got a book. So, you know what? Let's talk to you. And just before we went on the air,
sure.
We were just talking about kind of your, and it's ZJ Hampel is your name, by the way, H-A-M-P-L.
That is correct.
That we were talking about your story. You're originally from Vermont, and how you ended up here. You told us that this was your first Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Yes, indeed. And I have to say, I'm very honored to be here. I've been to a multitude of libertarian conventions before with the Young Americans for Liberty.
Oh, okay.
And then, of course, when I heard about Porkfest through a friend and colleague of mine, he's a paramedic, and made a reference to me for here, I absolutely could not pass up on. So it's nice to come back and brush up the cobwebs, so to speak, and be here at this event. I'm very honored to be here.
You do look medic-y. You do have the stethoscope surrounding your neck at the moment. You're wearing a t-shirt that says volunteer with a Lego block, and it says, I work well with others, but don't tread on me. Is that what that says there?
That's exactly what it says. Absolutely. Yes, indeed. I'm an emergency medical technician. Mm-hmm. Just got certified last year. And I thank you very much. Talk about the most ironic of time periods. I mean, my goodness, I was desperate for employment as an EMT in the state of Vermont. Couldn't find anything. Mm-hmm. Came over here to New Hampshire. And then just literally 4 days after I moved to Concord, New Hampshire to begin my EMS work, mm-hmm. the COVID-19 pandemic hit. Mm. And so it's been a...
What did that do to your work?
Oh, it has...
As an EMT.
I think the bigger question is, what hasn't it done to our work as an EMT? It has exposed the living daylights out of, in terms of how unprepared our free market health care and government
market.
No, absolutely not. And it never was, thanks to the ACA.
And insane levels aspects. Of regulations, the FDA, and all kinds of state government meddling in the industry. It's one of the most heavily controlled of all the industries.
Oh, yeah. And when you look at Obamacare from 2008 and how that was an absolute disaster, it rained havoc, or wreaked havoc, rather, mm-hmm. across our states and things like that, it threw us into a death spiral. And this COVID-19 pandemic has more or less exposed the living deaths out of just how incompetent government-provided health care authentically is, which is why I promote free market healthcare, but don't get anywhere.
Well, you've got to know. And you work in the business, so you've got to see it personally.
I mean, if the VA hasn't taught people this, I don't know that anything else can.
I mean, it may teach some of the veterans, but it doesn't teach the average person because they don't know what goes on.
But they have a family member who's a vet who tells them about how horrifically inefficient
it is. Sure, but that's just one story.
Okay.
You know, it's just a case study.
I hate to burst your bubble, but there are so many flaws that are associated with almost anything healthcare-related these days. Mm-hmm. Medicare, Medicaid, those systems treat every patient that they have like just another number in the system.
Yep.
I work with them on a multitude of occasions, and we've seen that geriatric patients... what I've been seeing are horrendously mistreated in nursing homes, in emergency rooms. They often get seen less, almost second to none, because they are much, much older. They're not on the so-called higher priorities or higher priority list of physicians. Now, people wouldn't want me saying this, mm-hmm. but being here on Free Talk, this is just getting this off my chest.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
I cannot say this in my profession to save my life. But the reality is, our rescue squads were so unprepared for this COVID-19 that when I initially moved from Vermont to New Hampshire, after I couldn't get a job as an EMT, a paying job, mm-hmm. in the state of Vermont. This was before the COVID-19. Then we get here to New Hampshire. Now all of a sudden they're calling me back, begging me for them to go back to Vermont and work for them. I said to them, I'm sorry, it's too late. I've already moved to New Hampshire. I cannot go back to Vermont where I have employment. And that was just one tiny fragment about how incompetent, and this is just the state of Vermont I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You look at New York State, Governor Cuomo, and the damage that he's done, it's been an absolute nightmare. So.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. So
you've written a book.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
More than one or just one?
Well, as a matter of fact, I have four other books in the works, but I do have one that is currently published, and this is a 75% true story. The primary differences are the names, the places of certain people and things like that, of situations that we were in. But I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but unlike your last guest, where she appeared to be relatively enthusiastic about the college that she attended, I had a polar opposite experience. An absolutely detrimental experience with my final semester of college in 2017 that I had no choice but to write some 15-20-page diary. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, this story is so unbelievably outrageous that I could, in fact, write a book out of this.
Okay.
And that's exactly what I did. It's a short story. In total, it amounted to 136 Microsoft Word pages.
Okay.
And then we submitted that to Dorrance Publishing. That's my publisher down in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't self-published?
You've got a publisher?
That's quite correct. It's a wonderful publishing company to work with. I would recommend, I cannot rave enough about Dorrance Publishing. They have been unconditionally good to me, very supportive.
Cool. And they said, you said off the air, I think you got into like some major bookstores, right?
Sure did. We did, in fact, do some campaigning, some book advertisement with Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Ingram, Walmart, Target, possibly Kmart, as I understand it. Ingram, which is where most stores will purchase a number of copies.
So give us the pitch on the book.
Yeah, indeed. It's a very awkward story. And again, as I said, it's a 75% real story about this young lady who is a nymphomaniac, which effectively means
that interesting already.
Yes, indeed. Well, it's very erotic and very explicit. She is quite a terrible human being, a rather disgraceful kind of human being, who loves nothing more than to manipulate men, her male counterparts, in every way, shape, and form, until it backfires after she meets a mortician and catches a horrendous case of STDs and has a revelation, I guess you could say, towards the end. So it ends on a very positive note, as depressing and as outrageous as the story is. There is a moral to it. I can't really say what it is for spoiler purposes, but I appreciate you understanding that.
Yeah, sure.
There's not a dull moment in the book, if I do say so myself. I've had other people read it, including my ex, and you can imagine the conversation that we had. She wouldn't want me telling you this on.
Is your ex one of the characters in the book?
No,
okay.
No. She would murder me if I did that. But she asked me if whether or not I had based any of the characters, the main character, explicitly, if whether or not she was ever based on that on my ex. And
the answer is
no.
Is always no.
Right.
Even if it's true. I mean, if a family member or a friend or someone asks you, is this based on me? No. The answer is always no.
Oh, yes, indeed. The answer is absolutely no. So, and of course, I blushed about the color of the canopy here on your tent, that color red, when we had that conversation. But it's gotten a lot of very interesting comments and reviews. Some people don't even know what to make of it. And that's part of the problem. That's why the mainstream media won't touch it.
So are you here for the fun of Porkfest? Are you pitching the book at a table, or do you have like copies of it in your car?
Oh, don't I wish. Sadly, I loaned out all of my copies that were sent to me, all of my free copies, except for the first copy, of course. It's got a very special place in the heart. But ultimately, I'm looking for any external outlet resource that I can wrap my hands around effectively to promote this book, to get the title out there, to get the word out there that this thing is on the market. And it talks about things that most people are too scared to talk about.
Cool.
Around dinner tables. And that's more or less where their superstitions end and my work begins.
DJ Hample, there you get a little bit of publicity here
on Free Talk
Live. Author of The Mortician's Curse. That's H-A-M-P-L, in case you're looking that up. ZJ Hample, thanks for joining us here.
Oh, my
Free Talk Live.
Pleasure.
Please enjoy the rest of your Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's been a wonderful event so far. And we got more coming up here on Free Talk Live.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Welcome to ForkFest 2020. It is the very last day of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which is the first week of ForkFest. It's two events happening simultaneously on the same campground for the very first time. The ForkFest... 4 years ago, or I guess technically 3 years, it's the fourth ForkFest, but it's only been 3 years' time, right, since the first one happened?
Because this is the fourth one.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So 3 years ago, ForkFest started as Somalia Fest, and it had basically a group of people, Derek J., Freeman, Steven Zeiler from AnyPay, and some others came out here, and you know, we did our own thing because the Porcupine Freedom Festival had sort of fallen away from, you know, what we considered its optimum state, and
to say the least.
And I want to say that the Porcupine Freedom Festival is now back to where it should be for the most part. I think they did a really good job.
It's a lot closer,
yeah,
I would say. But there are still some things that I don't fully endorse, like the picnic tables here that are blocking off most of the roads.
Yeah,
and like
I actually ran into one of them last night.
I bet. So, I mean, these are the walkways,
right?
And
it's
you're going back
pitch black, right? It's pitch black. There's been no moon all all week here.
Yeah. Just a little tiny sliver now, but I mean...
Oh, there was a sliver last night? I didn't notice it.
I didn't either.
But I mean, it was so black, and even though we're sitting here next to one of these picnic tables, so we're at the top of the hill here at Rogers Campground, beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. It's not too late for you to come out. If you want to come hang out at ForkFest, you can go to ForkFest.party to learn more. But one of the things they did decide to do is to put tables in the roads in this Agoura Valley area. The idea is you don't want somebody careening down the path and, like, running over somebody, I guess, which has never happened here, so I'm not sure what they're worried about. But anyway, they put the table there. So even though I was aware the table was there, right, like I've been seeing it, it's been there for a couple of days.
Sure.
I wasn't paying attention or whatever, and I wasn't on my phone or anything like that, I don't think. I just ran into the damn table. And
sounds painful.
It didn't hurt that much, thankfully. Okay. But
that's good.
But if that's your biggest critique, Aria, is that there's picnic tables in the roads, that's, you know, there's not much to critique.
Sure.
Right. They did a good job.
They did.
And the way they did a good job, and the reason why we're sort of reflecting right now is it's actually Saturday afternoon as we're recording this Sunday edition of the show. So by the time you're hearing this episode, the Porcupine Freedom Festival will have ended.
And ForkFest alone will be going.
That's right. And we are on, so we're on the final night now. We're in the beginnings of the final day, the final full day and night of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. So I think it's an appropriate time to do some reflecting on it. And it was a success. And it's because they let people make their own choices about what to do on their campsites. And I've actually been surprised at how few people were really even aware of what happened last year. I was just talking with the current president of the Free State Project, Vince Perfetto, who we worked together on the 101 Reasons film, the 101 Reasons right. Liberty Lives in New Hampshire. He was the main guy behind that. I was just in a, you know, like a co-producer, right? I threw some money at the thing and I helped run the website. But so, you know, we get along great and he wasn't here last year. So he didn't know about what happened to this Agoura Valley, which, for listeners that are new, is the first four rows of RV campsites here, where people set up things like,
it's a hot zone for vending.
Yeah, it is the place to be. If you want to be a vendor, you got to be in Agoura Valley, but last year it was empty. Even though there were, allegedly...
I talked to people who were here last year who didn't have any idea that any of this happened. I mean, they knew the vendors had moved down, but they weren't curious as to why or why Agoura Valley was empty or any of it.
And it was. And it was embarrassing last year, because this is supposed to be a busy area, and once again, it is. This year, it has filled back in. There are vendors all throughout Agoura Valley. It's no problem to get multiple different vendors with food, and, you know, there's merchandise. There's a big hippie tent with a bunch of cool, Selleck-looking shirts and hoodies and things like that, and, you know, it looks like crystals and a Buddha statue, and there's all kinds of people here set up. I've actually eaten every single day from a different vendor. So I haven't gone back yet. I'm going to go back, I'm sure, to somebody twice, but I've wanted to buy everything that I buy here with goldbacks, and I've had success.
So far.
I've yet to be turned down with goldbacks. I even paid in goldbacks for my ForkFest ticket today. So I actually was not only allowed to buy a ticket.
Yeah.
I paid in goldbacks, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Nice. Yeah. I've got to get down there at some point today to do that. Although today is also, it's kind of pointless.
Today's the free day afternoon. So
and it's
right
the last
now.
Day. So, I mean, why bother?
There's been a lot of people here who've had a great time, and I hope that we're going to continue having a good time in the next week. I don't know what to expect out of ForkFest.
I don't really know either.
I'm excited to find out how it goes.
Is Think Penguin coming up here for ForkFest? I know he said he was planning to come. I'm just sort of surprised he isn't here already.
Yeah, I don't know why Think Penguin, a.k.a. Chris and Bob, Chris Wade, who's our Friday night co-host, is not here yet. That was a surprise to me. So, they're coming up today. Mark Edge, our co-host, is coming up today, and I plan to ask him what his excuse is as to why he wasn't here. I know he has carried a vendetta or a grudge against the Free State Project, and I don't understand it. I don't understand carrying grudges. I don't understand why someone would do that. It doesn't help you.
No, I mean, it's just something for him to carry around and miss out on great events like this because he's unhappy with something that happened in the past instead of just forgiving it and letting it go.
Yeah, and as somebody, I would have expected that by now he would have learned this about forgiveness, that it's about you, right? When you forgive somebody, you don't have to tell them You don't have to, like, make a show.
It's not about them.
No. And, you know, so they may not have even asked for it. That's okay. You don't have to make a show about forgiveness. You just, it's an internal thing. Yeah. It's just a thing you do for yourself so you can be at peace with whatever it is that has happened to you.
Right.
By whatever it is that, you know, whatever person we're talking about. And there's nothing that really can't be forgiven, in my opinion. I remember I was reading.
I would agree.
I was in jail for civil disobedience, and there was a People magazine in the booking area because we would work in the jail kitchen during the day, and then we had to go back to the cells. But before that, they'd strip us down and search us to make sure you didn't, like, stick a knife between your butt crack or something like that to, you know, take it out of the kitchen. So we'd get shaken down in the booking area. And so while we're waiting to go back to the cells, there's, you know, like a People magazine there. And so there was an article about this lady. Her son had been killed, like, in a shooting at a party. He was 17.
Yeah.
They were at a party. Somebody was fighting over a girl or whatever. And somebody pulled out a gun and shot this kid to death. Well, the guy who did it was convicted of murder. And, you know, he went to prison. And the mother of this boy that got shot to death forgave her son's killer.
That's great.
They had a conversation over, like, you know, letters, right? Sending letters.
Sure.
So she's sending letters to the guy who killed her son. She forgives this guy. He gets out of prison, and she let him move in with
her. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I mean, that's a step beyond forgiveness, but
it is. She created a relationship with this guy. So it is way beyond. That's why I'm telling the story, right? Like, most people wouldn't be able to forgive their son's murderer, number one.
But they should be able to, because that's the only way they're ever going to find justice, right?
And peace inside. They should be able to, but people have a huge problem with forgiveness.
Yeah, they love their punishment, man.
It's not something, and punishing themselves in that case, but it's not something that that people are particularly familiar with. It's something that takes practice. It's something that, you know, you have to consciously choose. I just thought that was such a touching story. And, of course, the way it was told was much more moving, right? Like, I gave you the Reader's Digest version of it. But, wow, I mean, how amazing the level of forgiveness to be able to not only forgive, but to take that person in, right? Because you can forgive somebody, but not forget.
Right?
Like, if you steal from me, I'm probably not going to give you access to money anymore, right? Like, sure. I can still forgive you and still care about you and love you, but, you know, you got
to
prove yourself.
Forgiving someone doesn't mean you have to let yourself be burned by them repeatedly, right?
Right, be taken advantage of.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, anyway, to come back to Mark, so he was mad when the Free State Project announced that they were banning Free Talk Live, and, like, my attitude was, hey, whatever, they got to do what they got to do for the people they want to make happy. And
got to get those Republicans here, man.
They wanted to make a certain group of people happy, and that group of people appears to still not be happy, from what I can tell.
Who could have ever thought?
I was told last night that there's some number of people, I don't know how many there are, but some number of people is choosing to not come this year because they've heard I'll be here.
How petty, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just more, I say that's petty, but by that same token, I have to include Mark in that. I mean, they're punishing themselves by missing this great, fun event with a bunch of wonderful people because they don't want to be troubled with having to walk by you and ignore you.
I don't know who Mark's trying to avoid or what his deal is. It's just the weirdest thing. I hope he gets over it. At least he's coming out for now, and we'll see what he says. I'm sure he'll have some excuse that he was busy or whatever, but I don't buy that. You had a whole year to plan for this. We've been talking about it for a whole year. More coming up here. We got more on the way from ForkFest.party. This is Free Talk Live. Anarcho-Vegas 2020 is a conference about changing the world through personal actualization and creation through markets. Get inspired to better yourself and better the world. Speakers include Jim Bell, Larkin Rose, Ovins O'Brien, G. Edward Griffin, Walter Block, Amanda Rockwitz, Ernie Hancock, and more. Get your tickets for just $20.20 at anarchovegas.com and use code FTL to save 10% off VIP tickets. July 19th, join Free Talk Live for anarchovegas.com.
The next generation wallet is coming from Divvy. In just a few taps, you'll be able to send, earn, spend, and exchange digital money in seconds. Send money around the globe with only a swipe. Instantly exchange between Divvy, Bitcoin, and fiat right in the mobile app and withdraw directly to your bank account. Divvy already offers the first one-tap solution for earning passive income with crypto. Multi-tiered masternodes allow everyone to partake in the network. Visit DivvyProject.org. DivvyProject.org.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.